media. They're terrified of this idea. They can't come. They can't explain how someone like Matt Shea, who's just this evil right winger, would do something like this, especially when the mainstream media and all the talking heads are saying, well, we got to concentrate entirely on Ukraine. Now, I am jumping ahead of myself a little bit there. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the reality of what's going on in Ukraine. But right now, this is truly destroying that leftist narrative. And I know they monitor this show. I know they monitor my show as well. So what are you going to do, guys? The ball's in your court. Play this hand that's been dealt to you. How could we possibly spin this? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure you'll come up with something really grand, won't you? Anyway, so for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Caleb Collier, as I said at the intro. And I host my own show called Church and State with Pastor Gabe Blomgren, who just so happens to be the associate pastor here at On Fire Ministries. I am also the CMO, that's the Chief Marketing Officer for Understanding the Threat. Now, I know that Matt has had John Guandolo, the founder of UTT, on this show a number of times. But if you don't know who UTT is, you really got to check us out. UnderstandingTheThreat.com. We are a wonderful organization that has a very strategic plan, very aggressive plan as well, to combat enemies of this republic, whether they be jihadist or Marxist or globalist for that matter, at the local level. And that's really where we're going to be most effective, is attacking these enemies at that local level. You see, when you look across at the global stage, really, what is the individual? What are you, the individual, going to be able to do against somebody like Klaus Schwab? Well, do you know where he lives? Do you know much about him? I mean, you know about the World Economic Forum. You know about the Davos Group. But what can you really do about this individual? Okay, so let's take it now to the national level. All right, you can see that Joe Biden is clearly an enemy of this country. But what are you, the individual, going to be able to do against something like that? Let's take it to the state level. All right, we know some bad players. We know Maria Cantwell is a bad player. We know Patty Murray is a bad player. But still, what are you, the individual, going to be doing about something like that? And I can email those people all day and all night. And you know what I'm going to get? A chain email back. Thank you so much for contacting Patty Murray. We're not going to be able to do anything about that. Okay, if the Marxists were effective in taking control of a large portion of our bureaucracy in America, which they did, if I'm writing emails to these same individuals, I'm communicating with the enemy. So let's take it to that local level. Let's go after these individuals. Now we know players. Now we know the people. Now we know who they hang out with, where they hang out. UTT is designed to go after these individuals at the local level. Everything we do is legal. Everything we do is constitutional. So sorry, leftists that monitor this great radio show. You're not going to catch us doing anything illegal. That's your move, you mostly peaceful protesters. That's what you do. The reality is, we, on the right, we obey the law. As long as they don't violate God's laws. And we run into a little bit of an issue there. All right. Contact me, understandingthethreat.com. My email, caleb@understandingthethreat.com. And let's get started. Let's go after these enemies of the republic. All right. Let's get into a few of these stories before we bring on our guests, and I'm really looking forward to this. Travis, do you even have a microphone on? You know, most of the fans of Church and State know that I like to talk to you every once in a while. You don't even have a mic, do you? Yeah. Well, he's shaking his head at me. He's got his back turned to me, too. I don't like this, Travis. Anyway, you know how a broken clock is right twice a day? Well, every once in a while, the government can actually do something that I approve of. I know this is shocking, shocking to fans of the shows. How could they possibly do something right? Well, they just did. And not only did they do something right, it's bipartisan at that. Caleb, you're insane. How could you possibly approve of what the government doing? Well, because I like my sleep. They're trying to get rid of daylight savings time. This is phenomenal. We've had this stupid thing in effect since 1918. This goes to prove that a lot of bad things happened during that era. Just look at the 16th and 17th Amendment. But what I love about this is we can actually, like Arizona and like a lot of other places, not obey this archaic ruling of, I love what the Native Americans said, you know, only only a white man would believe that you can gain more hours out of the day by or gain more out of a blanket by cutting off the top of it and sewing it on the bottom. That's what we're currently dealing with daylight savings time. Look, I hate the fact that during the winter at 4 o'clock, it's dark here. You're done. You can't do anything. Let's add that extra hour. Why not? You know that depression goes through the roof actually because of daylight savings time? You know that there's more car accidents because of daylight savings time? So, you know, there's two individuals that have actually brought this to the table, and neither one of them do I really like. Marco Rubio. Man, that guy is a rhino. But I'll applaud this one. Good job there, rhino. Let's get rid of this stupid law and make it to where Americans can just be uniformed in our time zones. I can't stand this. Arizona in particular, because I'm on the West Coast and I have to deal with this. I'm calling people in Arizona and things. Oh, wait, are you on my time? No, you're not. Okay. It's confusing. So I just said, don't contact your representatives because it doesn't really do much. But I'll tell you on this one, because it's bipartisan, contact them. Let them know you're done with this. It passed the Senate. It needs to pass the House. And then Joe Biden needs to sign it. That's if they can give Joe Biden a pen that he can actually operate. Probably sign it in a crayon. Anyway, moving on from there. I want you all to know, and this is where I'm going to start talking about Ukraine. You're being lied to in a lot of ways, and you're being distracted more than anything else. Now, this is my opinion. But as I look and I see what the vast majority of conservatives and libertarians and constitutionalists and patriots and Christians, the ones that were actually awake to what was going on under the COVID-19 so-called pandemic. I saw how they rejected the mainstream media, how they rejected the talking heads, Republican or Democrat, it didn't matter. How we didn't listen to Dr. Fauci. And we truly believed that a lot of what we were being told were just straight lies. We rejected the death numbers. We rejected the daily COVID cases that were designed to usher in panic. And I see these same people. And hook, line, and sinker, they're back to watching the mainstream media. They're back to listening to the talking heads. They got Ukrainian flags. How many people actually knew what a Ukrainian flag even looked like prior to this? How many people could find it on a map? Knew anything about the country? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some severe atrocities that are occurring there, because there are. And I'm certainly not claiming that the Russians are the good guys. Don't get me started on that mess. I'll tell you right now that Putin is a KGB communist oligarch. The guy's not trying to save the world. He's trying to do right by Russia, and really, he's more interested in his legacy than anything else. Russia's not the good guys. The Ukrainian government is not innocent. There are biolabs out there. But Americans, you're getting distracted. There's a real war going on right at our doorstep. I'm talking about our own borders here. Look, I recently just got back from the Mexican border. And I can tell you it's an eye-opening experience. They're reporting today there was a massive gun battle in Nuevo Laredo, just across the border from Laredo, Texas. Waged for hours. Cars blowing up, burning in the streets. Citizens terrified. Hiding out. Not able to even go into their town. As the cartel and Mexican authorities are literally engaging in a war at our doorstep. Meanwhile, Biden has made our border more porous than it ever has been. You've got the Border Patrol, which I have so much respect for you. Many, many people know that my brother is a Border Patrol agent. The Border Patrol is literally being ordered to take illegal immigrants, to non-governmental organizations like Catholic Charities, where they are processed and put on a plane to anywhere they want in the United States, paid for by the Biden administration. That's what's happening at our borders. And it's been going on for quite some time. So in the era when we all had to practice social distancing and wear masks, two masks and a visor, get your vaccine, no, that's not enough, get your booster, your second booster, now they want to give you a fourth one. In that era, they were literally taking illegal immigrants and dispersing them throughout the United States. That's what's happening on our southern border. And we're all distracted about Ukraine. Look, some of the things that are occurring at our border are almost too horrific to report on. Rape trees, child smuggling, child sex trafficking. They're doing the most despicable things down there. Mothers who, in search of a better life, are walking miles and miles through the desert with a small portion of water. Border patrol agents are coming up on these moms and their babies are dead. Dead because they don't care. They take the money and they just throw them out in the desert. You survive. So you leftists who consider us law-abiding citizens to be the enemy, the reality is we actually care about these people. We want people to immigrate properly. We want them to enjoy the American dream like all of our ancestors did. But not you. You don't care if they die in the desert. All you've got is AOC people who show up at the border and shed a bunch of crocodile tears. This is so terrible. Complaining about how they're separating families during intake. Well, you want to know the reality? Donald Trump and his administration were doing that because so many of these children were being trafficked. They weren't actually with their parents. That's what was going on our border. And that's why you, the Americans, have to pay attention to what's going on around us, watching us, instead of being distracted by what the mainstream news is telling you. And that's just one subject. There are so many other things that they are doing, just like a magician. Pay no attention to my right hand. Watch what the left hand is doing. I'm distracting you. So much more going on right now. So please, pray for Ukraine. Pray for Russia, for that matter. But don't get so focused on what they're attempting to turn your attention to that you lose sight of the fact that America is in real danger right now. Moving on from there. Conspiracy. Don't we love this subject? I know the left loves this subject. I know that the left is really, really pushing the agenda of QAnon. Now, most people know that I can't stand QAnon. He's been identified. We know that he was never, ever high-level military intelligence or anything else for that matter. It's basically some dude in his basement pulling the wool over people's eyes. But mainstream media, talking heads, the elites, they were pushing that agenda. Because you've got to be really careful about conspiracy. The problem with conspiracy is that they can throw everything in that bucket. You see, there are certain things that have occurred throughout our life, throughout our history, that people understand that the story doesn't really add up. There are things that you can see with your own eyes that just don't make sense. I, for one, have seen the video footage of the Kennedy assassination. I have seen with my own eyes missing tapes that show clearly a second shooter. But yet, when I talk about that, I'm labeled a conspiracy theorist. Even though with my own eyes, I've seen this footage. What's more believable? When you see Kennedy's head snap to the left there? And you're expected to believe that that was a shot from behind? That one lone gunman? Not even really a great marksman? Fired off multiple shots and just hit over and over and over again? The magic bullet? That's what we're supposed to believe? No, the reality is, there are some conspiracies that are true. But when you start going into QAnon, which was really designed for the modern era, for the people who have no attention span. I mean, you want to talk about the Kennedy assassination. You want to talk about, did FDR know about Pearl Harbor or the attack that was about to occur prior to it occurring? You actually have to go into this and start researching and reading. Otherwise, you're going to sound like a fool. But QAnon was designed for the modern era, where people don't have enough attention span for that. Just want to spout off on whatever. So, pedophile elites and Satanists, and we've got Hillary Clinton that's already been thrown into Gitmo and actually killed. No, the person you're seeing is a body double or a clone. You see, when you start going down that path, you ruin all of our credibility. Look, we know we've been lied to. We see it time and time again. You got to be real careful. You got to be able to believe the truth. You got to be able to search for that truth. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, more than anything else, is the one where you can actually hear something inside just tells you that's wrong or that's right. And we experience it with sin. So it really shouldn't be that far off to consider that if you go to the Holy Spirit with these so-called conspiracies, that he can lead you on the correct path. See, the media is going all out in pushing this QAnon conspiracy, saying that it is a danger to our democracy. I'm so tired of this, a danger to our democracy. It's constantly a danger to our democracy. Good thing we don't live in a democracy. I'm all for dangers to democracy, because I don't ever want to live in a democracy. But they're pushing this idea that QAnon and all conspiracy theories, that's the trick there. All conspiracy theories are dangerous to our democracy. They're dangerous to our society, so that we need to reject it. So that anytime you hear anything that is off from what the mainstream media is promoting, well, you need to label it as that conspiracy theory, and you need to reject it without even thinking. Consider 1984. Consider what they want to do to you. Free thought is an enemy of this agenda. We can't have people that question. We can't have people that weigh the facts and come to their own conclusions. We need groupthink. Groupthink, so that they are so easily controlled. But the reality is, there is always going to be people like me and like you who will always reject their false narrative. No matter what they do, no matter how oppressive they are, we will always fight them. When you look at things like COVID-19, which of course they bring up in this article, they throw Dr. Andy Wakefield, which by the way, I just got back from the Reawaken America tour in San Diego, got to sit down with him for a half an hour. The man is brilliant. He's amazing. But they throw his name in here, saying that the vaccine, this so-called vaccine hesitancy, is all Dr. Andrew Wakefield's fault. And he's a kook, according to them. But the reality is you and I, we know. We watched friends and family be injured by this. We've watched athletes just collapse after they've gotten their third booster. We saw people get COVID and take a little horse pill and be okay. We saw what Remdesivir did. We saw how people got rich off of this. But we rejected their narrative. We rejected it because we're free thinkers. And these people, they despise those of us who free think. They despise those of us who have the laws of liberty written on our hearts. Because we are uncontrollable. Because no matter how oppressive, no matter how much you censor, no matter how many people you take out, there's always going to be a new person to emerge. Because liberty is the most decentralized platform you can possibly have. You, the enemies of our republic, you want to centralize everything. You want to establish false leaders within the conservative movement so you can tear them down after they implode it. It'll never work. It'll never work. The Lord in heaven laughs at your plans. Because it'll never work. We are designed to be free. You can never oppress that. Not to the level that you want. Even in throughout our history, even in communist Russia, Nazi Germany, there's always been freedom. Always. Because you can't stop the individual. Last but not least, before we get into or bring our guest on, that's a bombshell story. Just broke today. Coming from the NWO report. That's right. New World Order. Fauci owns the patent on SARS-CoV-2 GP120 HIV insertion, which destroys the body's cancer-killing T-cells. Now, isn't that a headline? This is coming actually from the Natural News, Mike Adams, the health ranger. Early on in the pandemic, we reported that the unusual HIV insertions had been identified in the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19. Now, this, of course, would point to the idea that this was a bioweapon constructed in a laboratory instead of the official story, which, of course, nobody believes. So we have this HIV insertion that's been put into the COVID-19, not only into the COVID-19 virus, but also into the vaccine. And who owns the patent to that? Science himself. Dr. Anthony Fauci, which, of course, we know we can believe everything and anything he says anytime that he's on the camera. No, that's just simply not the case. The man is a liar. Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying, and we all know it. So here he is. He's getting rich off of this insertion into this HIV insertion into COVID-19 vaccine and virus. Okay, HIV's GP120 protein, is the one that activates the LFA-1 on CD4 T lymphocytes. Now, I know that's a lot of science that I just threw at you, but here's basically what it does. It increases your potential for cancer. That's right, HIV, just the standard virus. Most people are familiar with the idea that it's not actually HIV that kills you. It's the fact that it so weakens your immune system that you start dying off from cancers and colds and all sorts of different things, right? Well, that's exactly what this insertion is doing. It's weakening your body's response, specifically your white blood cells' response to viruses and specifically to cancer. So we should expect when we're basically human guinea pigs, and this virus that's inserted into us through a needle, that there would be those who would immediately have a poor response to this. Whether that results in death or severe maiming, I think we can see with our own eyes that that's occurring. Well, what about the long-term effects? What about the fact that according to this report right now, this is going to severely weaken your body's response to cancer? Can we expect that the vast majority of people that have been vaccinated and continue to have boosters, given 5 years, 10 years, that we're going to see an insane uptick in cancers? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. When you have these individuals like Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci, George Soros, talking openly about the fact that we need to reduce the world's population, that we, humanity, is a cancer on this earth, instead of believing what the Bible tells us, that we are a blessing and that we are to multiply and that we are to take dominion over his creation. No, these Luciferians, they believe that we're a cancer and that we need to be dealt with. And what better way to deal with cancer than to introduce another cancer to it? To eat away at us. Look, they don't care about you. You think any of them got vaccinated? I guarantee you they didn't. You think they're going to be soft on you because you're the type that obey? No. You're the first ones they'll kill. The first ones they'll take out. Because you're the easy ones. They can deal with people like me later. They can deal with me through the UN or whatever else they're going to do, whatever else they're going to throw at the United States, which is really the last country that can really fight with any significant force against their plans. But even with that, you know, I used to say that all the time, but I'm feeling a little bit of a check there because I'm seeing all these different nations. I'm seeing places like Canada, and Poland, and all these other areas throughout the world. We're seeing free movements, people pushing back against the globalist agenda. We just need to get organized, guys. Need to get organized so that we can win this thing. Look, a lot of people are saying we're in the end of days. And maybe we are. But we don't know the time. Not even Jesus knows the time. We do have some things that we're supposed to look for. Some of these things have not occurred. I love eschatology just as much as the next Christian. Probably more. But that doesn't give us license or an excuse to say, woe is me. I better just head to my bunker. I got my storable food. I got my ammunition. I'm going to be okay. World's going to hell in a handbasket, so I might as well take care of me and my family. Look, the Lord didn't have John write the book of Revelation so that we could build bunkers and house storable food and ammunition. He wrote it as a warning so that you and I could hit the streets and win more souls for Christ. That's the intention behind it. Travis, I see you active over there. Is our guest ready to come on? Is that what you're doing for me? You don't know. All right, Travis, fine. I will say this, though. If you don't have a guest for me, I'm about to pull a magic trick. Hey, audience, you want to see Caleb disappear? Don't worry, I got plenty to blab about for another half an hour, even if he doesn't come on. Although, Travis, I might make you get a microphone at that point. Look, there's a lot of fear. And the world wants you to fear. Satan and his minions desire nothing more than to keep Christians on their heels, afraid of their own shadows. But we were told, what is it, 365 times in the Bible, do not fear? Why are we fearing what the world can do to us?
He's on.
All right. I got a whisper in my ear that Joe telling me our guest is on. So it is my pleasure to introduce Keith Eitan. Now, Keith, and I hope I'm saying your last name right, but Keith Eitan is a pastor. He's a African-American non-denominational pastor, owner of the preparedness website Food Survival Store, travels worldwide teaching on the importance of emergency preparedness as well as the kingdom of God. He's also the author of the book The Prepper and the Preacher. And so with that intro, Keith, thank you so much for joining us on Patriot Radio.
How you doing today, my brother? How you doing today?
I am doing very well. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I don't believe I've ever had the pleasure, actually, but I know you are a friend of Patriot Radio. And so thank you for joining us.
Well, I am a friend of the radio, of the program. I haven't been on in quite a while, and I'm happy to be here. So how are you guys and how's everybody in Radio Land?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're doing all right, although I gave them a kind of a dressing down on fear. And I know as a pastor, you can probably speak to that as well. But I'm seeing a lot of even within the Christian communities, a lot of fear, fear of what's going on in Ukraine and Russia and the viruses and all these different things. And the reality is we as Christians should not be living in a state of fear with the understanding that Christ wins in the end. And we are part of that winning team.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We are part of that winning team. I like to always joke about that with fellow Christians that, look, at the end of the day, we know which side is going to win. And that's the most important thing Christians we need to remember that. Which side wins? It's not like when you're in a street fight and you got two guys duking it out and then you don't know who the winner is going to be. We know who's going to win this fight. And that's what we have to know that. And as Christians, we should also take notice in the book of Daniel when it said that, my people shall do exploits. So if we are his people, we're going to do exploits. We're not just supposed to roll over and take it. We're going to do exploits for the kingdom of God, for whatever he has assigned for each and every one of us to do. Because obviously, some people have different assignments. So whatever he has for you to do, just do the best you can, and God's going to get you through it.
Yeah, amen to that. I completely agree. When God gives you an assignment, your response should be, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And whether it be radio or becoming an author or food preparation, whatever it is, and even the individual who thinks, I'm a nobody, what can I possibly do? God has a mission for you, and you just need to search it out, and he will bless you for following him.
Man, I can tell you guys stories about that. I'll give you a quick joke. I was living in the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. And I was down there happy. I'm a pastor, but I do teach preparedness, just to be ready for emergencies of any kind. But I was happy and I had a friend of mine, a fellow pastor who's Caucasian. I'm African American. And we were talking and he said to me one day, he said, the Lord's telling me to leave the mountains and go into Chicago and start preaching the word and outside of Chicago. And I laughed at him. I said, hey, man, are you sure you're hearing from God on that one? Because that's, going over there. He was like, no, that's what the Lord's telling me to do. He wants me to go over there. And sure enough, my buddy went over there, and it's been successful for him. And then within a few months, the Lord started wooing me. And so the little quiet voice of the Holy Spirit started telling me, I want you to relocate and go to New York. And I was like, what? New York. And sure enough, I had to be obedient to that call. I just relocated to New York, even though I still have ties in North Carolina. And I tell you, when you're obedient to God and you do what he wants you to do, he opens doors for you that no man can close. And he just makes a way out of no way. So I just wanted to encourage the listeners out there, whoever may have some kind of difficult assignment or something that God is telling them to do or warning them to do, whether it's move or take a new job somewhere else or take a leap of faith with doing something, just do it. Just be obedient to what God's telling you to do, because there's blessings in the obedience.
Yeah, that's so well said. I'm a prepper myself. I don't mind who knows it. I live out in the country. I've got my acreage. I've got my meat rabbits. Chickens are on the way. Got our vegetable garden starting. I've got all that. But if God told me to move to Washington, D.C., even though the prepper in me just screams, absolutely not, I'm going to have to follow what he tells me to do. And if I think that I'm going to be okay on my property, that I'm going to be able to ride out what's coming at us, the reality is God, I'm just as protected in Washington, D.C. as I am in the country in Spokane, Washington, because God's protecting me, not man, not myself. It's the Lord. And so if he's telling me to move somewhere where I'm super uncomfortable, he's got my back.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You said it perfectly. That's what a lot of believers need to understand. In the scriptures, we see where with the situation with Saul, when he was told to kill all the animals and, the men and women and children. And we can go into different theological arguments concerning that, but Saul was given straight instructions what to do. And sure enough, he kept some of the best lamb and sheep. I guess him and his buddies wanted a lamb dinner, and I'm Caribbean, of a Caribbean background, so maybe he wanted some curry goat, to go along with it.
Oh, there you go.
At the end of the day, he wasn't obedient to what God told him, and sure enough, he was in front of the prophet Samuel, and he was like, hey, too bad, your kingdom's going to get ripped from you, buddy. So we have to be obedient when God gives us an assignment, and you are absolutely correct. If God can protect you over in Spokane, Washington, he can protect you in Washington, D.C. Your best protection is to be in the perfect will of the Lord, being in obedience. When you're doing what he tells you to do, we can find so many people in Scripture, when they were obedient, if God's hand is on you, that's it. He's going to protect you. If he tells you You know, and one thing I like to get into some people's heads, I used to work a lot of gun shows throughout the East Coast. And going to these gun shows, I used to encourage some of the veterans, because a lot of them have seen a lot of carnage in their journey. And I encouraged some of them. I let them know, I said, look, you know, you're going to be here on this planet as long as God wants you here. If God has decreed it from the foundation of the earth, if he says that this person, Private so-and-so or Colonel so-and-so, whatever your position was, if he says you're going to live for 100 years, there's no demon in hell that can stop that. You're going to live for 100 years. Now, if he says someone's going to live for 50 years, well, that's just what he says. That person's going to get 50 years. There are some things that it's just God's business, but if he decrees it, and if you're in the will of God, just be okay with him and trust him. Just trust him for the journey.
Yeah, you know, he tells us, you know, he points to, you know, the sparrow and how the sparrow doesn't worry. There's enough to worry about just in the day, in the day that we're currently living in, then, you know, freak out about what's going on next week or the year after that. So that being said, I did want to turn the conversation over to the preparedness side of things, because some people kind of have a hard time, you know, grasping that. You know, you just told us not to fear, but you're talking about being prepared as well. Well, the Bible's very clear about this one as well. It's, you know, the scripture reference of look at the ant, you sluggard. Look, there is a time to prepare, and it's actually the Christian thing to do to prepare, because there are so many individuals who do not and who are going to rely on our government when the times get rough. Well, you look at our history, you look at the Great Depression, it was the people who knew how to can, knew how to take care of themselves, had prepared themselves. Those were the ones that fared the best. And so it is the Christian thing to do to prepare for things. It is the Christian thing to do to store up some food. That way we can help not only ourselves, but also our neighbors.
Thank you for bringing me there, because I face some Christians who are absolutely either ignorant of the scriptures, or some of them are just in denial for reality. We have some Christians who just choose to put their head in the sand concerning such things. And I've come into the discussion, not arguments, because I'm not going to waste my time and argue, but I've spoken to some believers who say, well, why do you prepare? Why this? I said, look, let's just look at the things from a scriptural point of view. All right. The Bible says a wise man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself. The scripture says that twice in two different areas. And then we can look throughout scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. We have the account of Joseph. We have the account of Noah. We also have to watch it's very subtle, but the account of some of the people in the book of Kings when there was a famine. We had a famine in Elijah's day. We had a famine in Elisha's day. And how some people were alive during those famines. In Elijah's day, it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. But yet some people survived it. So they had to do some kind of preparation, and they heard the word of the prophet when he gave the warning that there shall be no rain for 3.5 years. So some people who knew that Elijah was a prophet, they obviously prepared. But if we go to the New Testament, because there's always going to be the Christian who says, oh, well, brother, you are referencing the Old Testament. That doesn't count. We have to look at the New Testament. Well, then read your Bible. Go into Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, it tells us plainly that Agabus prophesied that there should be a great dearth throughout the earth. And there was, sure enough, a famine that occurred. But the Bible says that they prepared relief. They got supplies, they prepared relief, and they were able to send relief to the disciples down in Judea. So those disciples, they stored up food or whatever, and whatever was needed, and they were able to be a blessing for the brothers and sisters down in Judea, out of their obedience. And I tell some Christians who like to get a little hyper-religious, because I love all my brothers and sisters, they'll say, well, you know, brother, the good Lord, he provided for Elijah, he can provide for me. I like to say, well, first of all, let's start right there. You're not Elijah. Let's stop right there. So, you know, we sometimes go off on a religious thing. And look, in my book, I lay it out plainly. I believe in supernatural miracles. I have seen them in my own life. I have brothers and sisters who I name in the book who I personally know, where there was some times where food was not available. I have one particular pastor friend of mine in Africa. They had a lot of people to feed. I'm just going to put it in a polite way. And they were short on food. And they prayed over that pot of rice, and they prayed. And sure enough, the people they had to feed, they all were fed, and they got a second helping of food. And that's the God we serve. He can provide. He will provide. But there is still obedience that's required. If someone had to buy that little small amount of food, that little small amount of rice, for the miracle to take place. So we have to be a little balanced here when, you know, when we're talking about preparing and things of that nature, because, you know, some Christians in our Walmart society, we figure that the store will always be there. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to my brothers and sisters in Radio Land. Walmart may not always be there. And at some point, Walmart may require for you to have maybe a certain identification in your hand or forehead, just maybe. So we don't know what the future may hold, but we can take a glimpse of this, the things that happened during this whole vaccine pandemic era. Even though it's slowing down right now, we've seen how ugly it was getting in some parts of the world, where they were telling people quite openly, if you do not have this vaccine card, you cannot buy groceries. So we can see how close we are with these type of scriptures being fulfilled, and we have to pay attention, especially us Christians in the Western world, because we are very spoiled in the Western world. We don't like to be uncomfortable. So I'm going to throw it back to you.
That's good. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, we had something called Embrace the Suck. And I think Americans, by and large, need to reach that point where we're a little bit more uncomfortable, because you're right. We have had it good for so long that we don't think anything is ever, no calamity is ever going to befall us, you know, at a national level where we would be downgraded to, you know, third world nation kind of status. Let me ask you this, though. And I don't want to get into a debate on, you know, timelines as far as the rapture is concerned. You know, I am a pre-wrath believer personally, as far as that's concerned, but I do run into a lot of people who are pre-trib who say, well, I don't have to worry about that because as soon as anything gets bad, you know, I'm going to get, you know, rocket ship out of this area. You know, I'm just going to sit back and watch it from heaven.
Well, I'm going to say this. My mentor, John Parole, he was like a father to me. This man, John Parole, and his wife, Renee Parole, they're with the Lord now. And they were my mentors. And we had this discussion because I came out of a Baptist background, and I love my Baptist brothers. And in fact, I'm a believer where I don't care of your denomination. I just love you because you love Jesus. So we're on the same
Amen.
Page, period. But we would have this discussion, and he told me, he said, son, I prayed and fasted about that for many years. He was a very gentle man. And he said, I was praying and fasting about this same discussion about pre-trib, post-trib, and all of these things. He said, the Lord told me in his very quiet voice, he said, the Lord said, my son, just always be ready. And I think from that, when he told me that, that settled it for me. I tell that to every Christian. Just always be ready. Because the Bible lets us know he'll be like a thief in the night. We don't know when that's going to happen. And I used to live in the hood. So I can tell you, when a thief in the night comes, he's sneaky. You don't know when it's going to happen. He pops right in your house. Could be 1 in the morning. Could be 5 in the morning. Could be 7 in the morning. Could be 2 in the morning. It could come any day. Could come on Christmas. Could come on New Year's. You don't know when. So we should always be ready as believers. I'm thank you for saying it, because I don't get in those debates with people. I said, look, let's just be ready as Christians. We want to make sure we have sin out of our life. We try our best to live as Christ would want us to live. You know, we want to make sure we clean up our own act, because we can't tell anybody else to clean up their act if we haven't cleaned up our act, you know. So we want to just try our best. And one thing I will tell Christians, though, when we have our brothers and sisters, we see our brothers and sisters over in Iraq and Afghanistan and some parts of Nigeria and other places in the world where the persecution is very fierce, where Christians are getting persecuted at a different level. They're getting killed for their faith. Well, I'm going to tell a lot of these believers who like to debate these different doctrines about raptures, say, look, in those countries, they don't ask you if you're post-trib or pre-trib or mid-trib. They don't ask you that. They don't ask you if you're a Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or Lutheran. They don't ask you that. The only thing they want to know is if you're a Christian or one of them. And if you're not one of them, your head's coming off. That's it. We have to get out of the childish stuff. We have to get out of the immature things where, you know, a lot of believers, because you have one believer who's post-trib, the other one's not going to talk to the other brother believer who's pre-trib. You got one believer who believes in speaking in tongues, the other believer doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. You get one believer who believes in we're sanctified, the other one says, no, we have to do some work. You get all these little arguments that's going on, these little schisms, and then we weaken the body where we won't even at least get together and have a cup of tea, but we all say we believe in Jesus. We got some believers, they won't come to your church if it's a church filled with African Americans. They won't go to your church if it's filled with Caucasians. They won't go to your church if it's filled with Hispanic or Latin people. And it's like, guys, we got to stop this stuff. We got to just realize that, you know what? As Christians, it's us, all of us. We're the body of Christ. It's us against the world. And this is where we have to come to that realization that, you know what? When we've seen it during this past pandemic, notice the word I use with this past pandemic, we noticed that a lot of people of faith were being persecuted. It was very subtle, but we noticed it. And a lot of people, their heads may have been in the sand, and I was just like, we have to stick together. I told people on my YouTube channel, I said, look, have we looked at our character as Christians, looked at our character? Have we, if you knew a friend or a relative who they may have opted out of getting a vaccine, and it just their personal conscience, their personal choice. Have you at least said, hey, do you have enough to pay your bills this month? Can I help you with $50 or give you a little gift or something? Because at least they stood for something. And I'm not saying be anti-vax. No, what I'm saying is there's some people where you have to learn to take a stand and support your brother or sister when they take a stand. Because with situations like that, when it comes to things like the vaccine, when you are being force, it's not a choice. That's the problem. And if we haven't studied human history, that's a big problem. Because if they can force you to do one thing, they will move the measuring stick at some point and force you to do something else. And by then, it may be too late. So that's why we have to encourage choice. We have to encourage believers that when they're being persecuted, we need to be there for one another. And us as Christians, we have to stop bickering with petty differences and things that divide us. We have to walk in unity, especially in the lateness of the hour.
It's so beautifully said. You know, I'm a heavily opinionated man, and I think most Travis, stop laughing. Most people who tune in to radio talk show hosts, they expect that. I actually believe that you cannot be a very good radio show host unless you're a heavily opinionated person. And so I have my opinions on things, and I enjoy debate. I'm very solid in my beliefs, structure as far as my faith goes. And we can talk about, you know, that I'm a Wesleyan and an Arminianist and all these different things. But the reality is, just as you pointed out, we're all of the same body. I may not speak in tongues. That's fine. I don't look down upon someone who does speak in tongues. You know, we've got this infighting that is occurring within the church, and it needs to stop. Because at this late hour, as you just said, all hands need to be on deck in order to fight against this Luciferian agenda that is attempting to take over the entire globe. You know, if you have somebody that's left your church, don't take offense to that. Contact that individual and find out if they're at another church. That's more important than anything else. Okay, you've left ours because maybe got a little too crazy. It was a little too Pentecostal for you. Fine. Are you plugged in at another church? Are you being fed? Because that's more important to me than anything else.
Amen. Oh, man. We need to find more believers like you, man. Thank you. What a blessing. You're absolutely right. You get some people that get all bent out of shape. Oh, well, he doesn't come to our church anymore, so I'm not talking to him. Like, really? Is that Christ-like? Like, what? It's like, no. If they're going to another fellowship, fine. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the brethren. As long as they're getting together with other Christians somewhere and they're still in the body, that's what we want. We don't want them. There's a lot of people leaving the church. Some of them are going into hardcore witchcraft. And the devil's sitting there having a field day. He's like, "Whoa, got another one." And it's like, no, we need to get these people, if they're not going to your particular fellowship, encourage them to at least go to a Bible study somewhere. Go somewhere where they can get fed, still get fed the word of God. You don't want to leave a believer isolated, because the enemy, he works just like a wolf. And we know that's scriptural. He seeks who he can devour. If you watch any of these National Geographic programs, these animal programs, you can find some on YouTube. One of the things wolves like to do, as well as even a wolf pack in the ocean, which is when you're seeing killer whales, they like to isolate their prey. If they can get that prey alone, whether it's a bunch of killer whales chasing down some animals, a whale or a shark, they want to isolate them. If it's wolves out in the Midwest, the wolves want to isolate that prey. If it's lions out in Africa, they want to isolate that prey. If they can get that one wildebeest away from the rest of the flock of wildebeest, boom, they got him. They can pounce on him and shred him to pieces. And in the spiritual realm, it works the same way. The devil knows this. If he can get a Christian out of church, out of fellowship, not around a body of believers, not around a body of praying people, and he can get that person alone where they get depressed, or they get bitter, they get angry, well, they can't hear from God anymore because they're in that state. And then that's where the enemy, he starts to pounce. That's when he starts to send his goons in, and that's when they can do their most damage, when a person's alone. And this is one of the things that in the church, we need to really wake up to say, okay, you know what? If this brother or sister is not going to our fellowship anymore, let's at least reach out to them as the deacon or the pastor. Just give a friendly phone call, text message, hey, we love you, if you want to come by, or if you want to do lunch, just so they know they're not alone, whatever. Because sometimes it may not be the church. It may be they're going through something personal in their own life. They might have a challenge or something that it's difficult for them to talk about or discuss. They could be going through a round of depression. You don't know what's going on sometimes. So as a church, just reach out. Just reach out, because sometimes it may be as simple as reaching out, letting them see the love of Christ in you. That's what really reaches people, instead of walking around with our offended and divide the church mentality, which is what the devil just absolutely loves. And I can't stand him. He's done enough damage in my own life where the Lord had to come in and heal me. So I'm trying to kick down. Anytime he's trying to build a building, the devil, I want to kick it down and destroy it. So that's just my attitude. I want to help build the body of Christ.
That's so good. And remember, Christian, that Chuck Norris may have been a lone wolf, but he wasn't a lone sheep. So what I wanted to transition into over here is that I saw a YouTube video. Actually, our technician turned me on to this. Is you have read or written the book, The Prepper and the Preacher, but are you about to release a new book? Is that correct?
Yes, I will be releasing that book very soon. I'm going to be very honest with you. This second book has been a challenge because it's dealing with events that are unfolding in our faith as we speak. I had got a revelation a little while ago. When I said a little while ago, back in 2016, during the election of Donald Trump, I had received some revelations from the Lord concerning cycles and patterns in American history. And I'm not trying to compete with none of my brothers like Perry Stone or any of the other big-name evangelists. I'm just trying to do what I'm called to do. And so it's been taking time. And I honestly, as a writer, you get a little frustrated. You're like, all right, Lord, am I done? Is it ready? And it's like, no, wait. And literally, just when I thought I was going to release the book, the pandemic came. And then I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And then I'm like, how come I didn't see this? I couldn't see this, but then the Lord gives you the revelation why you couldn't see it. And so it's the work, it's almost done, but I want to just, I can't announce it yet because it's not 100% completed yet. But I will say this. We just have to watch for patterns and cycles. We see it all throughout the scripture. Watch for patterns and cycles in history. Some of you astute Bible readers out there will understand types and shadows. If you can see those things in history, you can see the next play coming ahead of you. And one of the things that's coming ahead of us, and the Lord has given me a release to definitely say that, is a famine. And believe it or not, it's so hard to even think of the word famine in the United States. It's like, huh? What? But here's a historical fact. when we had the Great Depression, and that time was from 1929 through 1936, when we had that time, and for those of you that understand the Great Depression or have a historical knowledge of it, you know we had a great economic collapse. The United States, the UK, other countries were affected. The stock market went bling, bling, bling. It just went wacky. And we had a lot of weird things happen financially. But one of the things that happened, we had in this country, we had over 7 million Americans starve to death. And this is something that is not told in many high schools during that time. Over 7 million Americans have starved to death during the Great Depression. And they say, analysts say, that the number could have been much higher because back then we did not have all the astute record keeping that we have today where we knew the exact population of a city or a town, et cetera. We had a lot of people, you know, come in the country without papers.
It shows that it's a time to prep. And I'm sorry for cutting you off, sir, but we are running against a hard break here. And so how do people find you? Is there a website we can go to?
You can absolutely find me on YouTube. You can just go type in Iton Entertainment, ITON Entertainment, and I'll pop up there. And you can find me on Facebook, Keith Iton. And you can find my book on Amazon, The Prepper and the Preacher.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Patriot Radio. We really do appreciate your time. And once again, I apologize for cutting you off.
No problem. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I'm pretty sure we are off the radio, but are we still on Facebook, Gabe or Travis? Yes? Okay. Called. What? Give him an outro. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I called you Gabe, though. But anyway, hey, thank you so much for joining us on Patriot Radio. Hopefully I was a good sub for the amazing Matt Shea. I suppose I should say Pastor Matt Shea. If you're interested in watching the show that I do, it's Church and State. You can also find it on Facebook at Church and State 1776. We're also on the American Christian Network, 10:30 Monday through Friday. So give us a listen. And with that, Patriot Radio is out.